Hello and welcome in to another episode of Podcast 63. Here with Buck and Lou, it is season 4, episode 24. And it is the regular season's over, everyone. There are a limited amount of games left in our schedule. And we are we're close to the finish line, I suppose. You know, however you want to interpret that. March Madness is around the corner, it's this upcoming weekend, and then postseason basketball is not too far behind. So we are going to talk a little bit about the games from last week, but I think like everyone else, other Loyola fans, it's kind of hard to talk about it, right? Like obviously there's some great moments in the Evansville game and the Northern Iowa game. You know, even though the result didn't go the way we wanted, I think there's some things we need to talk about. But I think, as most fans do, you got to move on and, you know, take it gracefully and look at what's ahead. And we have a great weekend coming up where we are the fourth seed in the tournament and still being favored by almost every betting market to win the tournament. So we'll be talking about that. We'll be talking about what needs to go differently in order to play well. We're going to talk about how big of a return Marquise Kennedy is going to be to the lineup. And then also, we're going to talk about our picks for MVC, all MVC teams. So we'll talk through first, second, third. We'll talk about newcomer of the year. We'll get a little bit into like defensive team, maybe the bench team, stuff like that. We're just going to kind of throw our hats in the ring and see how well we do. And that'll also help us talk about some of the other guys we need to worry about for Arch Madness. So I said all that, Lou. How you doing? Have you recovered yet? What's going through your brain?
No, I'll be frank, right? So, Drew kind of said it. I listened to in on his portion of the coach's carousel or a round table, whatever you want to call it. Part of the NBC basketball weekly kind of Monday talk. And he said, we have a target on our back. And to be honest with you, I knew we did. But the way I'll describe it is you and I fans had a whole bunch of gear that said beat Loyola. And you know what? We're at the top of our game in the Valley, and I think that's what it is. But reflecting on the regular season, it's just been we turned into Wichita, right? We had a great group of years, and then we wanted to leave. And everyone, I think, got a little annoyed by that. So it's been a little bit weird. I really wanted this regular season championship, especially since our last season in the Valley. But, again, there are other things to look forward to. We got Arch Madness coming up, so a lot to talk about. A lot to mourn about maybe or get a little upset about, but a lot of excitement to talk about with this upcoming weekend and the amount of games that we're hopefully looking to play.
Yeah, so we are going to be talking about all that and so much more. So stick with us, and don't forget, always remember, go Blurs.
He jumps, he passes out to Hunter. Hunter shoots, off the rim, Brown gets the score. It's over. We won the ball game. Loyola won the ball game. Oh, we won 60-58.
And we are back. So let's start with the good. Let's start with senior night. We had coming off a win at Illinois State, which we talked about in the last episode. And coming home, playing Evansville, who is the worst team in our conference this year. I don't think that's any question. And there was a lot we had to kind of fine-tune and fix up. And in the meantime, or as well, we also had to congratulate our seniors on an impressive career and, you know, see them play their last game at Gentile, which was hard for me and I'm sure hard for many. This was a good memory I'll have of this year, for sure, going to the game and seeing them win by 51 points that was fun, right? But then the emotional side of seeing some of these seniors get walked to center court and with their parents or family members, or in Keith Clemens' case, having Braden Norris and St. Thomas walk him out. You know, it was cool to see that kind of stuff and see the round of applause they all got and well deserved. And also the team managers and someone else, there's some other person on the team that was congratulated. But overall, it was just it was a good day. It was a fun day. It was a good day to be a Rambler fan. We got to see some fun basketball. Got to see some guys get in there that we don't usually see.
you know, namely, Will Alcock, and Lou, what, how do you coin him? What is his nickname?
Victor Cigar? Is that my nickname?
Yeah.
Okay. Victor, I just want to make sure. After the Evansville game, he might be called Willie Trilly from three, but we'll talk about
it. Yeah. It was great to see Will get some run and make shots, man. That was great. And it was just from like the 12-minute mark in the game, like people were chanting for Will. And that was just really cool to see. His family was there, and you know, they just look like the type of people that are so down to earth. And I don't know, you know, who knows? I don't know them, but they just looked like, you know, from Indiana, just regular folk having the time of their life. I think Will shared, a video on Instagram that his mom took, or a couple of them, and it was just so sweet. So super cool to see that. It was great to see some of the guys' families who I've never heard of or seen, you know, because they might live, away, you know, can't come to the games for whatever reason. Yeah, it was a special moment. Will got a bench chair to take with him, which I guess, is that a walk-on tradition? Because I also saw Joe Crisman he posted on Twitter that he has a chair from the bench. Do you know if that's a tradition?
So I think it's more that he's the bench mob and that he has a bench. It's not a tradition that you like take.
Yeah. Okay. I wasn't sure. So it must just be a couple guys. Like that was the gift. Because Joe Crisman has one as well. He posted on Twitter about it, which I thought was funny. But yeah, I mean, Lucas was there with his mom, which was cool. I had a really nice interaction with her on Twitter, which was, you know, cause Twitter can be a hellhole sometimes. It's really nice to have good interactions. I posted that video of Lucas walking out with his mom and said, I promised I wouldn't cry. And she replied back and said something like, thanks, or you guys have been good to him, or something to that regard. And I replied back and said, oh, thanks for raising a great human being, you know, and she like sent a heart or something. But it's just nice to have those sort of things. They're real people, right? They have families, they care. And I'm sure it's such a great moment to feel, or to have your kid, make it to that level and be, successful, right? Successful and a good person. So yeah, I mean, there's not really much to talk about from the game standpoint, right? Like, we won by 51. It was fun to see some of these guys go out and have really good games. Especially I like seeing Keith Clemens get some run and make some nice plays and play 20 minutes. That's got to be up there for most minutes he's played this year. You know, it was good to see. I was obvious that they were trying to get Ryan some more playing time to try to, like, catch fire a little bit and get some stuff down, and actually it did kind of work, at least on the offensive end. Yeah, I mean, there's really not much to talk about from the game. I don't know. I mean, I've been doing a lot of talking here, so I don't know. What did you think of senior night, and then also anything important from the game?
Yeah, so side note, I sadly caught COVID for the first time, so I wasn't able to be there and witness the senior night. So I think the senior night actually is probably one of the most bittersweet ones, just because of the majority of seniors that have made an impact, right? So like Cam, last year, that was tough. That was absolutely a tough one. And that was one player, but then to see seven players, right? Mm-hmm. That's a really tough one. And then more like even like players like Will, and then Will being able to get a chance to put up those points. Like I was nearly the third, tied for the most points scored on the Evansville side, but I think he might have been third or whatever for our side. Mm-hmm. But like, so seeing like that was great. So I think it's really great and really crazy, that it was already the end of our home, series. I really do think so. Yeah, I hope, they all got a moment. I think they all did. I think the one thing I'd say is you and I were messaging or chatting. I was like, oh, he's got to take them out. Like, I don't want anyone to get an injury. And we jokingly said, like, oh, yes. Like, he's trying to give everyone, like – and the fact that we were able to do this where he was able to give every single senior a, like, hey, this is your final chance at home. Come say goodbye. And yeah. He called timeout or subbed them in or subbed out, and they all got to come out, get a hug. So that was really, really cool. I definitely think you – there are some teams that never get a chance like that. Because of like maybe the close competition or if it's a close game, right? Like I remember our, the year we went to the Final Four, we played Illinois State at home and it was a game, grind game. Like we weren't trying to give it up or anything like that. so maybe not everyone gets the minutes as a senior. So that for everyone to get their minutes and some guys like Ryan getting a lot of minutes, I think that was cool, absolutely. So to be honest, it was a great game. There's no way to put it. I was really hoping it was the game that set us up for the battle that would be at UNI. But it was a great game to watch and everyone get excited and see the home crowd. I'll be honest with you, the student section, tip my cap, been there forever. The sign girl, I don't know her name, but probably the best sign she had all year was incorporating every senior into the word seniors. Like, just the idea that we have students that care like that really just shows you in the last 5 years, maybe 6 years, the growth and difference. Because, again, you would only have to get maybe that student section four, like a top 25 team that came to Loyola. Like, no, we get that for senior night against Evansville. So I really think that was cool. Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, like, big shout out to every, like, the students for sure, like, utmost and number one, but it was a great crowd just period. Like, it was, I can't remember a weeknight crowd that wasn't like for the conference, like, championship or anything. Like, it was, if it was, they didn't say it was a sellout, but it was pretty darn close. It probably was a couple hundred away from being a sellout. So that was really cool too. They all deserve that. You know, I think at a later point, you know, at the end of the season, we can talk about legacy and all that kind of stuff. You know, it's, you know, Cam was probably in the past 25 years was one of the best players that we've ever had. Lucas is probably one of the best winners we've ever had, you know, that sort of thing. So I don't know if we can really talk about that yet, but I think it's worth bringing it up and starting to think about what some of these guys' legacies are at Loyola, especially the ones that have been here for, you know, four or more years.
Absolutely. So, absolutely.
Yeah. But that's kind of all I got. The day, it was just a good day. It was like, I hung out after the game for a little bit just to kind of see if there was going to be any, players coming out and chatting or whatever, talking with their families. And it just, like, if it was a fun day, it was a good atmosphere. There was, some former players in the house, I believe. I saw, oh my gosh, I'm drawing a blank on his name. Anyway, but from before the Final Four, a couple of years. Is it Christian? I think I saw Christian Thomas potentially. Okay. Yeah, so there's a couple people there, and it was just, yeah, it was a good day and a good way to send the seniors out from Gentile. So
absolutely.
Yeah, but then moving on from there, we had our battle for first place for the regular season title against Northern Iowa, a team that we blew out the first time we played them at home by 27 points. We both had the same record of 13-4 in conference. And it would come down to this game to decide who won the regular season, I think, as everyone probably knows by now. And I will tell you, this is definitely not how I saw this game playing out. Our defense had looked great the past 2 days, you know, our past 2 games, albeit against Illinois State and Evansville. But I really, truly believe that that would carry over. And I was dead wrong. You know, the final score, it went to overtime. 102-96. This has to be one of the highest scoring games we've had in recent history, period. You know, I know it went to overtime, but still, you know, it's tied at 89 or 87 at the end of the end of the 40 minutes. I feel like I'm going to expose myself here a little bit, but I think it's a funny story, so I'm going to tell it. Anyone who knows me, you know, if people are listening, know who I am extremely animated during games, whether it's at the stadium, at home, at a bar, it doesn't matter. I'm loud. I yell at the TV. If I'm in public, I try to not curse. Some still slip out, as I'm sure other people do. And I planned a dinner with my family like weeks ago for this date, not really thinking about it. And I hadn't seen my parents in like a month or so. And so we were set to meet at 4:30, and of course the game's at 5. So the whole week I'm trying to figure out like, how am I going to watch a game? Like, oh my gosh, I'm going to have to go in the basement. Like, it's not, you know, I can't see my nieces and my parents, and you know, they're not going to be up late. So it's not going to be like that long of a day. And the day before, I'm sitting drinking beer and I'm thinking about it. I'm like,
I can't watch this game. It's not fair to my family for me to be yelling at the TV by myself for 2 hours, have dinner, and then have to leave an hour later. So I didn't watch this game. I didn't watch a frame of it until afterwards, until the next day. I wasn't following it at all. My brother-in-law was like giving me faces the whole night about how it was going. And at one point, like with 30 seconds left to go, he's looking at it and he's like stressed out. And I'm like, you got to tell me. And he's like, they're up by two. And I was like, oh shit. So then from then on, I started following it. So actually it's my fault that they lost because they were winning by two. And then as soon as I start following it, they go to OT and obviously dropping in overtime. And I'm laughing now, but I'm hurting on the inside. I'm not saying, like, you can come for me in the comments. If you want to be like, oh, you're a fake fan, blah, 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 go for it. I made a decision because I thought it was what was best for me and my family. You know, like, I'll take the responsibility. But, yeah, I mean, I watch it afterwards, and I don't know. I mean, my takeaway is just, like, damn, we're so freaking close, right? I don't know. Yeah, like, yeah, you could sit here and complain about the fouls. Most of them were probably pretty legitimate. A few, of course, you can pick out and say that those weren't fouls. You could nitpick the last sequence, right? But, like, those aren't bad shots. And they probably make, you know, Lucas probably makes that shot more often than not. And I hear the same, you know, likewise. So you could nitpick this game. And I honestly, it just comes down to defense for me. Like, there's no way in hell that this team should be giving up that many points. It doesn't matter to anyone. Like, they're a really, really good defensive team, and they need to figure out how to defend without fouling. That's what it comes down to. This team will win Arch Madness if they can figure out how to play defense without fouling and not have to worry about foul trouble coming out, that sort of thing. I mean, take Ryan Schwieger, for example, right? This is his best shooting night he's had, I think, as a Rambler. He was 5 for 5 overall from the floor, hit all three of his threes, and made all four of his free throws. But then he gets in foul trouble and has to come out because you gotta watch his minutes and make sure he can play toward the end. You know, like, that's disruptive. And even though he's having a hell of a game, it doesn't matter because he's in foul trouble. So that's what it comes down to for me. I don't want to dwell on it too hard, but it hurt in the moment, and I know it hurt for you too. So, Lou, take me through how you watched it, how it went, and I don't know, just your takeaways from it.
Yeah, it's one of those games that I actually found myself watching with people who had no, well, they cared, right? I don't want to say they didn't care. Yeah. They didn't care as much as I cared. I found my answers at some points through a glass, and it was just tough. Don't promote that. I'm just saying that's what I found comfort in. But again, it was gonna, I didn't expect the same game as last time, right? If anyone said, oh, we're gonna win by 30 again, I think you're clueless about this UNI team and our team, right? I think we could go back to the SIU games to be like, we're not as consistent as I know we should have been when I talked about us in the preseason, right? Mm-hmm. But to be honest with you, coming off of like the Illinois State game, I was like, okay, we're not going to have to score that much. Our defense will dictate it. Okay, Evansville, we score a lot. Okay, well, we're scoring a lot against a mediocre team, right? So let's find something in the middle. And here's what we did. We scored a shit ton of points. We had an amazing offensive outing. And that's great. Like, there's no one should be like, our offense didn't click. What, we shot 51%, I think it came out to be at the end of it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's an amazing stat for any game, no matter who you play, right? For a team to go up and, you know, down the court, if you put up a shot, one out of two of them are going to go in. Oh, that's just great. But it was just our defense. It was our defense that was the key to it. And here's my thing. Someone could say, oh, we didn't lock down AJ Green. I don't care how well you lock down AJ Green. AJ Green shot, I think, three from the logo. So three threes from the logo, too. So AJ Green, I tip my cap to. There's really nothing I want to say that I'm not going to be like, I'll tip my cap to him. 32 points and never resisted from three. And I know he only made two threes, but, like, he wasn't afraid to score. Now, half his points came from the free throw line, right? And are people going to be like, yeah, there were some ticky-tack fouls called? Absolutely. But he was driving against bodies that, to be honest with you, when you drive, that they're going to give it to the driver. They're going to give it to the offense more times than they're going to give it to defense. So if he did that more times, then now do I understand, like, people are saying, well, Loyola didn't get to the line as much? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Like, that's now a question. When the other team has more attempts than we have – or, sorry, when they have more makes than we have attempts, that's when it gets to be like, okay – like, they had double our attempts. That's when it's like, what are we calling? Like, that I can understand. But from a defensive side, I think it's the fact that we let Noah Carter and Bowen put both up 20 points each. Like, we put AJ Green into foul trouble in the first 4 minutes. Mm-hmm. He had two fouls on him, and Bowen Bourne said, you know what? I'm going to go score, and he did. He was 6 of 9 from field goal. Noah Carter, 7 of 14. So, like, those two guys alone were not the players they were in the game we played them last in. And I think that's the thing. You have to realize that AJ Green is going to score, so put someone on him. But there are a lot of defensive spots that I saw where we did fail. There were times where Bowen Bourne beat someone off the dribble. There were times where Noah Carter got inside. And it was like we were just letting them score because our offense was able to keep up. Mm-hmm. So – that was one thing that's big. And then the second point for me is there is one game this year that is the outlier that doesn't fit my criteria. But our turnovers were horrendous. Like, there's no – like, there absolutely is no way to say that what do we have, a total of 15 turnovers is great. Now, in every loss we've had 12 or more. Now, like, 12, I can see 6-6, but I do think we've had games where it's more in one half, right, more than the other. Mm-hmm. The only game that we've had less, like, really low turnovers was actually the loss to Missouri State at home. We only had 6 turnovers. Mm-hmm. But every other game, like, you go look at Auburn, for example, 18 turnovers. Michigan State, 14, but I'm pretty sure we had, like, 10 in the first half.
Yep.
So it's the fact that we have been running into this thing, I think, offensively, where we are moving up our pace, and I like it, but I have to be cautious of, like, if we're increasing the pace, are we forcing more turnovers than needed? Now, again, like, certain guys like Lucas are holding onto the ball because, like, Ahir's out. So where he's running into where he maybe might be an increase in turnovers. And that's granted. When a guy holds onto the ball more and looks to have high assists, you're going to turn the ball over, right? That's the whole point of assist to turnover ratio. But it's guys like Chris Knight with a consistency of 4 turnovers sometimes in games that I'm like, when I look back at it, it's just like he wasn't able to hold on to it. It's not even offensive turnovers. It's more that, yeah, that just he couldn't hold on to it and got it stripped from him. So there's questions like that. And for me, that's really the UNI game. Our offense, amazing. I have no issue with our offense. Some of the plays, I was like, hey, but we were able to answer. And this was probably one of the best, actually, consistent offensive games besides the win against UNI, which blows my mind, right? Consistently, because you have Lucas Williamson have a quiet 29 points. You can say quiet because we lost the game, right? Ryan Swieger, 17 points, but it's overshadowed by him fouling out, right? Chris Knight, 11 points. Okay, but then you had Braden with 13 points. And also, Halo, Braden had 8 assists and 10 rebounds. This Braden Norris kid of a good 5-foot something nearly had a triple-double. A triple-double in one of the most important games, definitely of conference play, but of our season. And the Braden Norris nearly puts up a triple-double. So, like, I think offensively we're there. It's just there's two things, and it's the defense didn't quite show presence, and then turnovers, like, if we clean it up, that's maybe 3 possessions that get us back ahead by 2 instead of losing by 6. So again, we battled. OT is never something easy. We've already gone to what this is our 3rd overtime game this year, and luckily we've won 2 out of the 3. But overtime is nothing easy. So again, tip my cap to you and I. Ben Jacobson knows how to coach a team into deep into March. So tip my cap. I think this one was the fact that it was so close. We lost the grasp of when. Kind of getting it, so I think they just hurt a little bit more.
Yeah, I mean, it was one of those games where, I mean, I was, again, following for not that long, but at the end, I was like, they have to win it in regulation, right? It's at home, full crowd, senior night. They have the best offensive player on the court, right? And AJ Green, who will figure out how to find a way to score or double team and pass out. It was one of those games where it just felt like they had to figure out in overtime, in regulation before overtime. And they were playing with the lead for a while, and they just couldn't close it out. The thing is, like you said, it's not offense. And I mean, I'm going to ask this question and it's kind of rhetorical, but for this team, which would you rather have to be able to fix, before Arch Madness? You fix your offense or fix your defense? Like, I think with the team and the crew that we've had, the crew we've seen and the coaching staff we have, it's easier or more realistic for us to fix our defense in 6 days and turn it around and continue to play good offense and hopefully fix our defense. I'd rather have it that way than the reverse. So at least that's my opinion. But yeah, just overall, I mean, obviously, like you mentioned all those names. Lucas Williamson, again, career high, 29 points, 7 rebounds. Braden, yeah, I mean, I wish he would have made some more shots too, but he played like a warrior out there, played 42 minutes of 45. That guy he's a beast. He really is. Like you said, he's 5 foot something, and I would never want to cross him in a million years. It's hard to take moral victories from something like this, but it was a well played game by this crew. They almost did it. They almost went into Cedar Rapids, right, and knocked off the first place Northern Iowa team. And it would have been a hell of a win. But now I think this lights a fire, right? It should light a fire under their tails. They got a lot to play for. I've seen a lot of stuff on Twitter. I don't think there's any reason why we're going to get an at-large bid. I don't, personally. So go out and win this. Go win 3 games in a row and get back to the NCAA tournament and see what happens there. But, I think it was an impressive showing and just so close to knocking them off. So I don't know. What else you got about this?
Just to carry on about your point, yeah, it's all Arch Madness or – right now, that's the focus. That should be the focus. Arch Madness, Bradley, we'll get into it, but there's no thought of, oh, we have at large. No, it's got to be. And to be honest with you, we're also in a tough spot where we're not in the Big Tens. We're not in the Big 12s. We don't have the luxury of that. Our conference losses hold a little bit more weight than maybe sometimes a win over like a St. Francis of Illinois, right? Mm-hmm. So it's the fact that we have to, even if we were to be on a bubble or anything, we have to go in to be like, we want to play on Sunday and we want to walk away happy on Sunday. So that's the goal. But right now it's game by game, and it's that's the hope that we can play each game and have it be our own game and not have to play someone else's tempo.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think that's kind of going to close the book on this game. 102 to 96. Like I said, just so close, and hopefully this ignites them to play better and win 3 games in a row. My other kind of thought about I had in the past like day or so was the mindset of this team, right? Like the mental gymnastics they've gone through this season, where they are, you know, pretty hot in the non-conference. They won some pretty good games. You know, especially toward the end of their non-conference with DePaul, and then they go, you know, play at Vanderbilt and win there. And then obviously COVID happens, right? They have a COVID, some COVID cases. They had to stop playing. And then right out of the gate, they get this game with San Fran, right? And they obviously, as you all know, like went and won that game. And then I don't think it was any secret that we kind of struggled a little bit after that, right? The team didn't look the same. You know, a lot of people are saying, where is this team? Where did it go? You know, why are we not playing as well? And you can make some, you know, explanations. A lot of it ranged from maybe it's a COVID hangover. Maybe it's
You know, we get the best shot of every team everywhere we go. Then the A10 news happens, and there's an additional thing, which MVC teams I'm sure are not thrilled about, that we're leaving them, and we've known that. And we've known that from statements players have made, namely on Northern Iowa. And, you know, they win some games, they lose a couple, you know, they drop one to Missouri State, that's kind of rough, but Missouri State's pretty good, and then they lose the game to Bradley. And then I think, honestly, the lowest point I would imagine for this team was losing at home to Drake. I think that has had to have hurt them most. Because if they win that game, this game, the Northern Iowa game, doesn't even matter. For us, at least. We would take the crown. But my point here is, like, this whole season, ever since the non-conference, they have had a target on their back, and everyone has looked at them like, they are the number one team. We were ranked at one point, right? We were in first place for almost the entirety of conference season. Now we finish in fourth place in the Valley. We dropped games to multiple teams in the top half, or actually all the teams in the top half. And my point here is we're not, I don't think this team needs to play like their top dog anymore. They get to play like their underdogs. And I think that's a mindset shift. And I don't know if that's how they feel. I don't know if that's what they're talking about in the locker room or if Drew has brought that up at all. But, I mean, you finish in fourth place. What? Oh, well, these top three teams think, you know, they're better than you, right? And they, sure, they probably do because they've each beaten us and Drake's beaten us twice, right? Bradley, our first opponent's beaten us once. So, you know, there's a little bit of a mindset shift. And I think that might play into our guys' hands here is these guys are probably used to being the underdog. They're not really used to being the top dog and the one that everyone's trying to beat. So I have no idea if that's, like I said, being discussed, but I think that would help them to try to think of it that way going into Arch Madness. It takes a little pressure off your shoulders. So I don't know if you have any thoughts about that. It was just something that was going around my head the past couple days.
Yeah, I think even Drew mentioned, someone asked today in the coaches conference, has the A10 kind of the move announcement caused some type of distraction, right? And Drew said no. I don't think it's distracted our team, to be honest with you, because if I recall, Drew said early on he didn't even know until like maybe a few days before that right. He was even being talked about. Now again, Drew, first year head coach, I think is more worried about the product he puts out in the court than where he's going conference. I think he was excited, but the biggest thing I think the Valley fans overall and maybe even the Valley teams were like, oh, this team's leaving. Well, what the hell, right? So, and again, you saw this when Wichita left, and you don't want a team who also had dominance in the conference to leave because then that technically. And historically would make the conference maybe weaker, right? And that's where the whole point Valley added team. So, yeah, I don't think any type of distraction like that. I think, to be honest with you, it's maybe just a shift in a different style of team that where you've become accustomed to under a new coach, but then also under a lot of new players, right? It is tough to have a team adjust its offensive scoring to be taken away, not taken away, to have majority of their offensive scoring just graduate. Mm-hmm. And that's through Cameron Krovic. So we found other ways offensively to score, right? But then that means also guys had to pick up other work, and maybe guys who mainly focused only on defense were like, okay, well, I got to bring down defense a little bit so I can increase my offense. So I think it's a matter of really, like, in most schools if you look at UNC right now, right? UNC basketball, maybe not playing at all the level they want. Right. Mm-hmm. They're under a new head coach, though, especially after, and I'm not saying compared at all our former head coach to their former head coach, but like teams and pedigrees of programs have such expectations year, season by season. And I think we as fans had an expectation going into this year and it's not hitting that expectation. And like you said, this issue of not winning the regular season could have been fixed at Drake. It could have been fixed at Bradley. It could have been fixed at Missouri State at home. There were so many ways it could have been, but I think it's just now it's like, okay, well, what can we do to adjust? Because my one point really that I want to say is that Drew mentioned like Loyola has a history recently even of not making it to Sunday on Arch Madness. And again, you go back to the infamous 2020 season where you get us losing first game to Valparaiso. And, like, I don't think at all anyone had that happening. And I don't think anyone enjoyed that. So it's like, I think coming off of a Sweet 16 run and, of course, the big media push of beating Illinois and then, of course, then our coach leaving, like, there's a lot of talk around the team. But what I think the focus is like, hey, Drew said it best. The valley we've seen many teams win a game that they needed to in Arch Madness and damage someone else, right? So I think that's the focus because, again, like you said, mentioned, we've lost at least one game. We've lost even two games to a team in the top half. But we've lost one game to every team in the top half. Mm-hmm. And even the team we're playing against this Saturday, Drew mentioned it. We have lost to Brad. Last time we played Brad, we lost them. So it's not something like every one through five, not including us, of course, right? We've lost a game to, and that's part of our conference losses. So I think that's the, not a concern, but that's the look this week is like, hey, this weekend is going to be game by game because we're in the driver's seat if we perform the way we can, because right now we can't let these other teams dictate what we got to do on the court.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right. It's going to be a tough way to do it, but, let's kind of talk about it. Let's talk about the bracket. Let's talk about what's in front of us. Obviously with that Bradley matchup, you know, as you said, we've played two games against them. Honestly, both times, I feel like we have not looked like ourselves in both games. And, you know, maybe that's a credit to Bradley, you know, to get us out of our game a little bit, but I think that gives us a lot of potential for figuring out our own stuff and just worrying about us and not having to worry about how to change our game or how to shift our game to beat Bradley. It's just let's figure out how we can be better at our game and go out there and beat them. So as you all know, or maybe, you know, some of you don't, Bradley did finish in fifth. Their top few players, Terry Roberts, who is a guard, is a newcomer this year. And then they have Rink Mast, who is their big guy. I think he led the, Valley in rebounds per game. And, they have a whole kind of, bevy of 3-point shooters. One of the guys that killed us in our last game is Zeke Montgomery, who, you know, I'm not trying to be tough, but that was definitely his best game of the year against us. They're, I think, still without Jayshon Henry. I haven't seen anything to say that he's going to be playing. If they do have him, he would be a significant increase and boost to them. But one of the things they do really well is they play with two bigger guys on the court, and Rink Mast and Malevi Leons. Both those guys are like 6'9", 6'8", somewhere between 6'9", 6'10". So we will kind of have to figure that out a little bit. If that means Ahir is going to be playing more minutes on, Leons, then he's got to make sure to be physical. Same with Tate Hall, if he's out there. The other thing we could do is try to go small and speed them up and have everyone rebound. But play a faster pace of offense. Try to get their big guys up and try to get, like on pick and rolls and see if our guards can beat them to the hoop. So there's some options, but they do well with Rink Mast and Malivi Leons, the two big guys that they will rebound the basketball and they will score on putbacks. And Leons has actually been pretty decent from three. He's made 38% of his, 39% of his threes, and he's made, 37 threes this year. So nothing to, can't forget about him from three. Lou, what do you got on Bradley, or what's something you're thinking about, either positive or negative?
I think that it's going to be a negative right away just because the last time we played him was a loss. Mm-hmm. And the biggest thing for me is how we guard the bench. Now, granted, I understand Zeke Montgomery, what he made 3 of 3 from three, and I think that's the most threes he's had in his career. I don't know. I forget the exact stat.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying I'm not going to be worried, right? Because if he feels like he can make threes against us again, he might, right? And then you got Ville Tavanian or whatever it was. Again, also a 3 of 4 from three off the bench. So yeah, I think there's a concern when 7 of 9 of the threes made. So 7 of the 10 threes that were made against us last time were all from bench guys. And it's not that I'm saying they can't score. We have bench guys. Even Ryan comes off the bench sometimes right now. So it's like we got guys who can score, absolutely. It's just a matter of, okay, the film needs to be like, don't just assume they can't score. Because I think that's nearly what caught us. Melvion Leons, I was totally fine with the 14. Mm-hmm. He was a JUCO player of the year. Who was up there, expected it, and it was a good 14, right? So that was the thing. But what all those players have in common, Zeke Montgomery, Ville, and Mavillon, Leons that I want to talk about, is that a lot of their threes came from the wide-open corner three. Mm-hmm. And that is something that bothers me because we promoted it so much in the Final Four rounds. So we used to think, oh, close out the corner three. That's Porter's mantra, whatever. I don't care if it's Porter's mantra or if it's – and like there should never be a time – and there was in this Bradley game where a Hero Guac literally tapped Tom Walsh's shoulder and said, out to the corner. And Tom Walsh didn't go to the corner. He bit on the drive, and then the driver – I don't know who it was on Bradley – just dished it out, and Leon's in the corner for a nice three. And it was just like, if you know it's almost coming, you got to be prepared. And I think that's the question I have with this team is the preparedness from three – because Rick Mash, we were able to hold him to 6. Now, he had a crap ton of offensive rebounds, 7 offensive rebounds. So there's 2 things for me. Tighten up the defense, let them shoot, but have a hand in their face. But we better be crashing for boards. Mm-hmm. I cannot. This was the game, I think, that really bothered me. And I think we even were texting because I think it was like, oh, did Loyola play bad or is Bradley good? And it's like, I think Bradley's good. It's just you when you open the door to give them more opportunities, then that's just not the way to go, right? When you give a team more opportunities to score, there's a team if a team shoots 40% from field goal, you give them 10 tries in a row, they're going to score 4 out of 10 times. So that's the whole point. You can't give a team back-to-back times to try to score. And that's those are the things I want to tighten up. Is the defense and when the shots go up, crashing. And one leads to the other because if we can defend, then maybe that many shots are going up, right? So it's those two things. I think this Bradley team is really interesting, but I think they got some players that, given the opportunity, like we did last time, they can score. So it's all about the right place and the right opportunity for them to score, and it's about what defense we really want to show up with.
Mm-hmm. I think in addition to what you said, limiting our own mistakes. And that includes like giving up offensive rebounds and turnovers. Mm-hmm. They're a team that's just going to take advantage. They are a smart team. They play well. I don't know if they do anything exceptionally well, but they're not going to beat themselves. So we have to make sure to play our game well and limit our turnovers, limit the amount of offensive rebounds we give up and take advantage of, fast breaks and the limited ones that we do have. So if we can play a clean game, I think we win this game by 10. I don't think there's any reason why this game has to be close if we're playing clean basketball. I'm not saying that you have to make a prediction or anything like that, but that's kind of where I'm at with this game. And but if you have anything else, please go for it.
For really prediction-wise, to be honest with you, I think – this should be a low scoring game for the fact that I really hope. Now, again, our win against them was overtime, or that was overtime, correct? Yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So that was in the 70s, but I think we finished regulation in the, at 70, at 66. And the game we lost, I think it was 68, 61 or something like that. So I'm expecting low 60s again. Wouldn't be surprised if it was a high 50s game.
Yeah.
But I don't expect Brian Worrell has been there. He has won 2 of the last, 4?
4, yeah.
Conference championships. So Brian Worrell is not afraid to look a team in the eye at halftime and be like, hey, I've been here before, boys. Let's go do it. So this team and our team, I think our team needs to lock down on defense. I think our offense has so many weapons that will find someone or find two or three. I don't know what it is. I don't want one person leading it, but it's more for me about the defense. Mm-hmm. I don't care really at the end of the day if we win 42-38. I couldn't care because right now it's about let's just win, find a way to lock down the team you're playing, and just produce a win at the end of the day. And that's what I think Bradley's got a chance at having some low scoring offense with our defense. So yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right. It should be a low scoring game. And I think that's how we go out there and win it. Sweet. From there, we most likely will be playing Northern Iowa. Of course, crazier stuff has happened, but we'll see Northern Iowa again for the second time in about a week. Or exactly a week. We kind of said everything there is to say about Northern Iowa. I think we mentioned this before, but for me, it's just, you know, AJ's going to get his, so make sure to limit what the other guys are doing. So don't help as much on defense. Don't leave your guy to go try to double AJ. He's going to get his, and we just got to trust Ahir and Lucas, I think, to go one-on-one on AJ and give him the best shot. But we can't let other people get theirs. Can't let Carter and Berhau find wide open shots because they'll hit them. So that's kind of my only thought about Northern Iowa. I don't know what else you got.
Yeah, I think Northern Iowa really for me is letting the guys get in to the basket. That like AJ Green's going to shoot from three, and I'm fine with that. Let him shoot, right? But Bowen Bourne and Noah Carter, I noticed the most recent game, they made a lot of their baskets from underneath. And I think that's the key. It's like if we were to play this team, it's more about like, okay, can we limit these guys who are picking up the basket from getting shots outside of – like just limiting the shots inside. Bowen Bourne was 4 of 6 from two-point, and Noah Carter was 5 of 10. So these guys did not have a bad shooting out game. And to be honest with you, their potential matchup might not be a hard one for them. So, to be honest with you, they might be well-rested into this game, and especially coming off, again, the two games before would be the win against us. So, that potentially could be it, yeah.
Yeah, and then just going on from there, I mean, there's not – I mean, Missouri State and Drake are obviously the two other top four teams. But I honestly wouldn't be surprised if there's some craziness in this bracket. I know Southern's pretty darn good. And I wouldn't be surprised if Valpo's got some veterans. I honestly wouldn't be surprised if there's some craziness, I guess, in this tournament. So not fair, I don't think, to speculate on who would play in the championship. I don't really have a favorite or a least favorite. Honestly, if we play Drake, it's really hard to beat a team three times in the same year. So bring them on, let's make sure that we beat them when it counts. And Missouri State, I think we showed in our second game against them that we're a pretty good matchup when we play our own game and don't just go cold from field goal. So, I don't know if you want to speculate on any other teams or just any other generalizations about Arch Madness, if you want to call any upsets or anything like that. But, yeah, what else you got?
Yeah, really the only team that is a big fat question mark for me is just Indiana State. They're sitting at a 9 seed, and I did not expect them, really, just the way they played, to be a 9 seed. Again, they only lost by 6 to Northern. They beat Missouri State. They've beaten Bradley. But then they get, like, what? They just got blown out by Illinois State by 20, and then they had Northern Iowa a few days before on the ropes. And so it's just like that team, I don't know. So the reason why I'm saying I don't know is because I can see them sneakily making some type of run. I really do. Just for the fact that I think the 9 seed is something of a sneaky little thing. I think you could easily see Drake on Sunday. I know they're a 3 seed, but the path they have, I think, just with the way Darren DeVries has put this team and focus this team, I can see that. So again, though, Missouri State's got two weapons, so I'm not going to speculate. So it's really just who shows up. Isaiah Mosley could be the guy that drops 40 a game and just destroys every team, or it could be a guy drops 30 and then the next game he only drops 6. So A lot out there. And again, every team has their keys. And if those keys are staying hot, like AJ Green, then I think teams will be in luck, because some teams just need their main focus guys to stay the way they're going. And then they'll be in control of their Arch Madness weekend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think we can make our picks a little later and put them on Twitter before the tournament, just to see, to make sure everyone's healthy and all that kind of stuff.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So kind of moving on from that, we'll be at the tournament. So, yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. And kind of looking just at the tournament as a whole, checking out the teams, we're going to build our Missouri Valley Conference, like, All Valley Award list. You might as well have it out there. It's just kind of fun to see how we do, especially, you know, last year in the Valley. So we'll just kind of take it from the top, I think. And if anything's interesting, there's some teams that are, you know, awards that are more interesting than others. Some I really struggled to come up with some names. One I didn't even fill out because I don't even know what to say. But just starting from the top, we can start first All Valley first team and then player of the year. I kind of think our lists are going to look the same for first team, but I don't know who you have for player of the year. So my five are AJ Green, Lucas Williamson, Isaiah Mosley, Gage Prim, and Terry Roberts from Bradley. And then my player of the year is AJ Green. What about you?
Yeah, so sorry, you did first team there just to begin?
Yeah, first team and then player of the year.
Yeah, so first team I got easily it's going to be AJ Green, Cage Prim, Isaiah Mosley, Lucas Williamson. And really the toughest one is I think it's probably going to be Tucker DeVries.
Mm-hmm.
But I can see someone else sneaking in. But yeah.
Gotcha. And then who do you have for player of the year?
Player of the year is going to go to AJ Green.
Yeah. I think for me,
who was your fifth spot for
Terry Roberts on Bradley?
See, I get it. You know what? That's a great point. I'm only concerned about how many games. What has he done in his last? Because as he's kind of gone down.
Yeah.
Right,
I see. I totally get it. I think Tucker's a very legitimate pick.
Tucker's on my two first team. That's
also it's like we're biased, obviously, to the games he played against us, right? And that dude had like an insane game against us, and it was important. It was hugely important for them and for us. So there's nothing wrong with that. He's probably, if not the first one off my first team, he's the second one. But as for the player of the year, it's obviously between AJ Green, Lucas Williamson, and Isaiah Mosley. The reason why I don't know if easily is the right word, but comfortably wrote off Mosley is because there were some games where Gage Prim, more than some, I would say close to half of the games, Gage Prim looked like the best player on that team, which is, he's a dang good basketball player, right? There's nothing wrong with that. But I think for some voters, he's going to take some votes. For instance, for us, we saw what Tucker DeVries did, right? He looked like the best player, but there's probably some games where Roman Penn looked excellent for Drake.
Yeah.
And so that's just for me. It's it's obvious when Loyola and when Northern Iowa play that AJ Green and Lucas Williamson are the best players on the floor for them, and not so much for Missouri State. And then, as I've always said, I really do give awards to the best team. I think that's really important. And in this case, AJ Green won the game, won the regular season, and if Loyola would have won, I would have given it to Lucas Williamson. It's just kind of that simple. Do you want to move on to second team or any more?
No, if Lucas won, if we won Lucas easily, if people don't see that, then I don't know what they've been looking at the Valley last few years.
Yeah. So second team for me, I have Antonio Reeves from Illinois State. I have Tucker DeVries from Drake. I have Garrett Sturts from Drake. I have Rink Mast from Bradley and Noah Carter from Northern Iowa. Just kind of a quick explanation. Antonio Reeves is the top scorer in the Valley, but his team is bad, and I don't think that he plays that great of defense, and I don't think he shows that much effort on defense, to be honest, or, you know, loose balls, that kind of stuff. So for me, that was kind of easy to keep him off my first team. We talked about Tucker. Garrett Sturts is another one of those cases where I just saw him play and I thought he did well. And he, He is like the second leading scorer for Drake, I think, second or third. But he's averaging like 11 points a game. He's got like 6.5 rebounds. It's his stats are kind of wild, actually. Like, I was really surprised looking through the numbers and being really surprised with what he's doing. Rink Mass for me, I think he's, you know, second best big guy in the conference. Personally, he's a top rebounder. He does a lot of good things for Bradley and helps him stay focused and not give up offensive rebounds. And then Noah Carter for me, another kind of a case where I was deciding between a few. It's another case where the best team in the conference was the deciding factor in a tie. So, I have Noah Carter on there. What about you? Who do you have for second team?
Yeah, second team right away. Terry Roberts, just for the fact that he didn't make my first team. Antonio Reeves, like any person that's putting up that many points, I think definitely just because the team is bad is the reason mainly for maybe the first team. I think if Illinois State finished in the top five, I could see him making the first team potentially. But like you said, winning matters. Rick Mast easily, I think, just makes that Bradley team differently, or makes it a different team. Ben Cricky, I think, has put up some points. I think he actually has been doing it quite well in conference play. So that's the biggest thing for me. And then lastly is Noah Carter. Yeah, I think Noah Carter has been doing it. I think right now he actually is like fifth in scoring, I think.
So he's up there, yeah.
In conference play. So I think that's something for me that is just – and again, he had a bad game against us, but still a great game then against us back again. So I think that really does it for me there.
Yeah. For me, third team then, I got Marcus Domask and, oh my gosh, I'm drawing a blank on his first name, Jones from Southern Illinois. Is it Trey Jones?
Lance Jones.
Thank you. And then I have Braden Norris. I have Ben Cricky. And my last guy is Roman Penn. I really tried to put Cooper Neese on this list. But I just, like, against all of these guys, I couldn't find a spot where I thought he did better. The only one, you know, maybe Roman Penn. You know, Neese has had a very good scoring year, but he plays for a bad team. And I think he's missed a couple games as well. And it's just this, you know what Roman Penn to me feels like is Clayton Custer after his first team. I know he's player of the year, but Roman Penn was first team All-MVC last year, and I just think it's really hard for voters not to vote for a guy like that. And Drake did well, and he's their starting point guard, and there's a lot to be said for that, right? You could make a similar argument for Braden Norris about being the starting point guard for a team that played so well. So, yeah, for me, Domask, Jones, Braden Norris, Ben Cricky, and Roman Penn on my third team.
Sorry, say your first one again.
Marcus Domask from Southern.
Okay, so I also have Domask easily. I think that Southern team. I have Braden as well. I think Braden has led this team easily. Without him, and there's in some cases we don't do too well. Shamar Grievance, I think he just got just on a trap of a bad team but great player. I think he's done phenomenal. I can't speak right now.
Phenomenally. You got it.
Yeah. We're recording late. Let's be honest, people.
Yeah.
We're trying to get you the best. So that's three. Really, I think the next one is, Garrett Sturts actually, gets it for me. Just because I think he's just a reason why this team is doing well. Again, if you notice, the teams who tend to be in the top are getting two players or more. That's four for me. I don't know. I was thinking Indiana State, but it was tough.
Yeah, the other guys that I mean, Cooper Neese was one I tried to keep off. I mentioned Lance Jones from Southern. I don't know. You're getting into the weeds of it here.
Yeah, it's funny because it's a tough one. Like Kobe King, I think so many people thought was going to do well, didn't, right? So, I think for me, if I had to toss it up to maybe Cam Henry, He might not win it. Maybe Cooper Neese gets it just because maybe playing minutes. I'm not sure. I know Cooper Neese definitely chucks it from three, but I don't know how consistent. So yeah, I think that's probably going to be, on it for me. Again, I can see it moving around. I always forget how, like, sometimes these voting things are seniority. So like maybe Cooper Neese falls a little bit because he's a freshman. And like Shamir Grievance is definitely not going to be maybe on a second team or first team because his team is the worst in the Valley, right? But Antonio Reeves, you can't deny that he's putting up 20, but you're not going to put him on the same level as first team. So there's a little bit of like politics with it. But teams who finish toward the top, they tend to get more guys, right? Mm-hmm. I think I made a reach with Valpo getting Ben Cricky on there. I just like his stats. But he's not putting up the stats like Antonio Reeves is putting up. So it's an interesting one there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it definitely gets a little tougher as you get further down the list. And there's lots of players, I think, that have, like, legitimate cases for making the third team, right? Like, it's especially with so many good teams at the top of the league. So, yeah, those are our top three. We still do Defensive Player of the Year, Improved Player, Freshman of the Year. We can kind of go through those. I was bored today, so I even made teams for most of these. I know I didn't ask you to do that, so you don't have to give them. But why don't you start it? Whatever you have, and then I'll chime in with what I got.
Yeah, with team-wise, let's do – you'll name your team, and I'll name if I think someone else should be in it.
Okay.
I guess so, like, Newcomer of the Year –
mm-hmm.
Right, I'll tackle if that's okay. So Newcomer of the Year, I can see being tabbed as also, because correct me if I'm wrong, Mokas Domas won Newcomer of the Year and Freshman of the Year.
He did, yeah.
So I can see Tucker DeVries getting that. Now Terry Roberts, though, is brand new as well. So I can see them giving it to Terry Roberts. But Tucker DeVries, I think, is going to be right there in that channel of getting it. So that's going to be mine. I think that the team aspect that I would have would be add Cam Henry. But that's really it. I can't really think of anyone else on the team. So I'd love to hear what you got.
Yeah. For Newcomer of the Year, right?
That mm-hmm. team. Newcomer. Yeah. Yeah.
So I do have Terry Roberts winning it. And then DeVries as well. I had Cam Henry on there. One of the guys that you mentioned earlier. And then I do have Kobe King on here. I thought he had a pretty good year. I mean, it wasn't as good as we thought, but I think he still put up like 10 points and 5 rebounds or something like that. And then my last guy is Ben Coupet or Coupe from Southern Illinois.
Oh, from Southern? Interesting.
Yeah. Okay. He had a way better year than I thought he did. He averaged like 11 points and 5 rebounds. And just, kind of a athletic guy. I saw a dunk, like a highlight dunk he had last week.
Is he a freshman?
No, he's a transfer. He's from like he's a super senior. Which again, I was like, wow, I'm learning stuff here. He transferred from like UNLV or
no? It's well, I'm seeing a jersey from Little Rock.
Yeah, Little Rock. Yep.
Wow, I did not
know. I know. I learned it too. Like he's like 23 or something. Like he's a super senior, I think. Or if not, definitely.
Yeah, it went to Simeon. That's really interesting. Okay, sorry. Yeah, okay, awesome.
Yeah, so, I mean, those are my five. Sweet. Yeah, I think.
Do you want to – do you mind, since I already said Tucker, I think, wins freshman, what would be your freshman of your pick?
Yeah.
You and I kind of talked about it. I don't have a team. I'm not going to pretend I have a team.
I don't have a team either. I have three names, and one of them is Tucker DeVries. The other two are Preston Rudinger from Valpo. Who,
it's
like one of those guys who like had a really good game against us in his best game. It wasn't even anything crazy. I think it was like 9 or 10 points, but he's a good point guard and he was a walk on. And then I don't know if he even has a scholarship, but now he's their starting point guard. It's a good story, but he's also pretty darn good. So I have him and then Connor Hickman from Bradley, who, played in all 30 of the games. He played over 23 minutes a game, almost 7 points, 2 rebounds. And yeah, shot 37% from three. So like, again, like it's pretty good. I mean, like as far as freshmen go, especially on a team that's pretty good. I thought that was okay. I was just looking at MVC beat, Missouri Valley beat.com has some, an article and I was kind of looking off them. But I don't know who's going to get it. These are some of the other names. Simon Wilbar from Indiana State, 4 points, 3 rebounds a game. Isaac Haney from Missouri State, 4 points, 2.5 rebounds a game. Preston Phillips from Evansville. We just played Evansville a week ago, and I don't even know this person. 2.7 points, 4.3 rebounds. Yeah, so those were like kind of the names that they gave. I honestly, I don't know. I mean, look, I think St. Thomas can even get some votes, and I'm not being like silly. Like, that's how wide open I think it is after even shoot even two of those guys. So yeah, that's the one that at the beginning of the podcast, I was like, yeah, I don't have all the names because there's, I don't know who, I have no idea who's going to get the award for this one. It's kind of just weird too. I always think the Valley has a few, you know, at least a handful of like pretty good freshmen. And that's just, it's like the second year in a row where it's been kind of slim as far as freshmen go in the Valley.
Yeah, I think a lot of these teams. No, I just think a lot of these teams look toward the transfer portal, and then just a lot of newcomers. I think there's a lot more new, even us, right? CK could be potentially stuff like that. So no, absolutely. But what did you want to go over? Like, I don't have any freshman teams. I'm not going to pretend I do.
No.
Ty for all like a care, and also don't know, and it all honestly could be in it. Just lastly, probably what defensive then, and then
yeah. Maybe. So I have defensive most improved, and I have like the bench, like sixth man of the year and bench. So
okay, so let's let's do defense. Hands down, Lucas Williamson wins it. I don't see how he could not. Team wise, I think you're probably gonna see Cage Prim and maybe CK even. And I'm also pretty sure Lance Jones on SIU gets a lot of steals. Mm-hmm. And then for me, it's up to really all the rest of the names. I'm not sure.
Yeah. So yeah, you named a few of the ones I had. I had Lucas, defensive player of the year, Gage Prim, Lance Jones. And then I have Ugwak over, Chris Knight. They're close. I ran that poll.
I think it comes down to box score stuff, to be honest with you. Yeah. Like on a box score sheet, you're going to see CK have blocks. But in my opinion, I absolutely agree with you. I think, here has the better defensive presence. Just what shows up in a box score might dictate votes there. But yeah, no, I actually, that's a great point.
And then my fifth one is Garrett Sturts. I don't know. It's not silly. I think he played pretty well, but it is funny that this guy is like doing this well and he just does a lot of things well. The other guy I consider is Tremel Murphy from Drake. And I was only going to give it to either like one of the Drake guys, Murphy or Sturts. And I went with Sturts. Okay. Do you want to go to the bench team? Sixth man of the year.
I think there's a battle for it. I think my winner is going to be Sheldon Edwards of Valparaiso, Indiana.
I like that. I agree, actually. I actually had Sheldon Edwards as well. He had some really impressive, like, scoring performances. I think Bowen Bourne is up there, too. Bowen Bourne is damn good.
Yeah, so Bowen Bourne, though, it's crazy because it's like Bowen Bourne started majority of the games, I think,
last year, yes.
Last year because of the injury to AJ Green. And I know he was injured – for a little bit, but like I think during Valley play it was all born. But then this year he had no problems sitting, and he didn't have to sit because he dropped 20 against us. So I don't know if it was really much sitting. They think they used him right and came off the bench. And yeah, Bone is usually there as well. I just think I give it to Sheldon Edwards, but again, it could be him, or I wouldn't be upset if they give it to Bone Bourne. A team that finishes first, right? Mm-hmm. That's also, it might be a little messed up to some teams. I know Loyola has been definitely privy to it, right? That when we came in first, we maybe got a few awards that we were like, oh, didn't expect us to come out with that. So that's kind of my take. But who do you got for the team-wise?
Yeah, so other guys, I have Bowen Bourne. I have Ryan Schwieger, Jalen Minette from Missouri State, who mm-hmm. – at times was kind of their third best option and came off the bench. Honestly, it was a little bit more productive than Donovan Clay. And then my last one is Tate Hall. I
I think, you know, even though he did start the last like six games for Loyola, but that was for an injury. I asked on Twitter earlier today about the one question about, like, is 15 out of 26 starts too many? Because I couldn't find anywhere a number, but, you know, you can't. I would think half would be, like, where I would go. 50% is my first thought. One of the writers from the Phoenix, Amelia, and I am going to get her name, Amelia wrote to us and said that she believes it's 25%. So the way she worded it, I was a little confused, whether, cause she says it's, Amelia Ikes, I-C-K-E-S, thank you Amelia, said, I believe the criteria is that a player cannot have started in more than 25% of their team's games, either for all games or just MVC games. So I don't know if that's like a both. She does say either. So I'm thinking it's like, if you, you would have to like either do it for both or for all is my thinking. Cause Tate Hall started in 6 of the 18, Missouri Valley Conference, games, which is more than 25%. But again, it's just one of those things where I think because it's a special circumstance and he only started those 6 Division I games, I think he would still get some votes or be eligible. So, yeah, it's kind of an interesting, and the person I was asking about, I don't even know, the 15 out of 26 is Tank Hemphill from Drake. If there's no rule or I'm wildly overestimating the percentage, then yeah, he deserves to be on here for sure. But I just, especially over half the games, I just can't see that being, That's a large portion. It's more, you know, he started more games than he came off the bench. How is that a bench player if he's starting more than he came off the bench? So, I don't know. I don't know if you have an opinion about that or the team as a whole, but those were my five that I had.
Yeah, I think it's more, I think the numbers of start, I would, of course, would hope that you would start less than you, you played, right? Like Tucker DeVries, you would think he'd be maybe the bench team. No, he missed he didn't start the first maybe 10 games and then you start every game after, right?
Right.
So no, not to worry about that. I think it's really up there. There could be guys like maybe Austin Fife. I don't know. Jalen Manette, I do think he'd give great minutes. Ryan Sweeger, yeah, he started a few games, but not as many as he played. Yeah, exactly. So, Sheldon Edwards, I think he's the captain of the team, right? So I don't know. It's definitely maybe a hearsay thing, right? So I don't know, but I think we have it down with Sheldon Edwards there or Bowen Bourne even.
And then I think it's the last one, right? Is the most improved?
I believe so. Yeah.
Who do you have for that award?
So this is really a weird one. I'll be honest with you, just because someone I was reading, it's like, okay, is it gonna just automatically go to Antonio Reeves, right? Because Antonio Reeves just produces scoring, and that's what he did. I think I might also have, and I apologize. I'm trying to.
If you want, I can say.
Yeah, you go if you don't mind. I just want to pull something up just to see.
Yeah. So, my five. I had Antonio Reeves, and then I have Bowen Bourne, who we talked about, but especially even though like his numbers might not reflect it, his different role, he played it way better coming off the bench and just is really important to what they do. I have Rink Mast, who I think took a huge step forward on a great team, and Noah Carter, who similarly, I think he is important to a lot of what they do there. And then my last player is Lucas Williamson. And that is actually who I have winning the award is Lucas Williamson.
Okay.
You could say like Antonio Reeves. Yeah, of course he's scoring in bunches, but it's like the only thing he does, right? It's tough because it's the stats, right? You see the stats and they pop off the page compared to, you know, what some of the other guys are doing, but you know, you look closer, you look at the leadership, you look at important games. And you know, there, I think there is a bit of a, you look at over their whole careers and Lucas has had, you know, 4.5 careers or seasons in the Valley and everyone got to know him and knew what he did.
And he has really taken the next step to being a bona fide offensive player. And it has become even more obvious, I think, in the second half of the Valley Conference schedule, while still playing Defensive Player of the Year defense. So for me, the most improved winner is Lucas Williamson. I think you could, make a case for Reeves. I think you could talk about players like Sheldon Edwards or Cooper Neese being on this team. But I just don't think they did enough to earn their spot. So what do you have?
Yeah. So my team's going to be consistent of Lucas Williamson. I think the offensive increase without losing – I definitely don't think he was at 100% of what he's normally at defense, but without losing at all too much or in defense keeps him absolutely there, right? I think Noah Carter gets it for me, just because I think he's made himself potentially this number two scorer. It was actually something we didn't talk about, but like you and I with I forget who, but he has a breathing problem now, right? Due to COVID, you don't see some of their bigger guys playing. So I don't know if that's Tyrone. That's not Pickford. That's Austin Fife. Mm-hmm. Austin Fife doesn't play anymore too much, right? So Noah Carter kind of picked up that load. And again, against Loyola, I think even one of his two games was really great. I think Garrett Sturts really gets a nod, with 11. He's increased his scoring percentage. I think he's a key contributor on, this team. And I think he's kind of found his starting nod, right? For Drake. I think, for me, Antonio Reeves, without a doubt. I'm trying to pull up his stats as well. But then for me, then I think Rick Mast. I think Rick Mast, just stepped up a little bit, and took over kind of the leadership of this Bradley team, right? So, I think that's a big thing as well. And the funny thing is I looked at it a little bit. So his freshman year, he redshirted, and then last year was his first year. So if last year was technically his first year, that means this is his freshman year.
Yeah.
So weird. I was like, this is weird. So I think he's just on his way to improve himself. So I think for him to be in double digits is great. So I think that's really amazing. So just some names. Yeah. Sheldon Edwards, I think Cy Chapman was, potentially there, though, again, due to injury, I think that was, and again, maybe like you might not see Reeves, do so much work. And I'm just saying that because of the, load of kind of offense, but yeah, it's easy. I think I really do think it's just going to go to Antonio Reeves, just because of the scoring change, from 12 to 20 points. Now I can see why they pick a captain to lead that team because they're losing. So in that case, I just wanted to be picky and say it might go to Lucas Williamson because of the fact that he not only was like, I'm going to do defense, I'm going to step up on offense. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Yeah, I mean, of course, like, I'm sure a lot of this is going to be wrong, but,
absolutely.
You know, it's more for fun. And, you know, I think the ones that we were pretty confident on, we made sure to say that. But, yeah, like, the most improved player – yeah, it might not go to Lucas. I think that one is pretty even across the board. But like freshman of the year obviously is going to Tucker DeVries. Even player of the year, I think is more obvious than not, unless something weird happens. So yeah, that's just kind of our, I mean, also kind of gets you guys, all the listeners, a little bit more prepared potentially, or, hearing these names, knowing who's going to be important. When we, play them or potentially play them in the tournament. But yeah, that's, I think that's all I got. It's been a hell of a weekend. It's going to be a hell of a next weekend. And yeah, I think my advice, and I tweeted this a bit, but Rambler fans need to be a little nicer to themselves. A, B, stay off Twitter if you can. And, C, don't cause any drama on Twitter. Just tweet out good stuff. And if you don't have something to say, don't tweet it at all. You know, I know we're all guilty of it. I'm definitely guilty of it, but, it's basketball. You know, at the end of the day, it is basketball. It's a game that we play or watch or follow because it's fun and it's a game. So remember that there are human beings on the other side. especially, you know, the players are college kids. They got parents that are watching them. So just be kind, you know. But enjoy the games, enjoy the tournament. I know I will, and I'll be enjoying St. Louis one way or the other, drinking at a bar. So, I think that's going to do it. Lou, any last thoughts before the end of the episode?
Just win, baby. That's all we got to do. And just, take it one game at a time.
Yep. Take it one game at a time. And, let's win the one that's right in front of us, taking on Bradley. So, thank you all for listening. Don't forget, always remember, go Blurs.